All right, there we go. Thank you so much, by faith. That was so much fun. I'm glad you had them stand up there at the end there. You saved me a little time. Did you enjoy that? Amen. I'm glad. Make sure you give them a welcome. And I know they didn't mention it, but out back here during the fellowship time, they've got CDs that they have produced. And if you can purchase those, see them back there. I know they would appreciate that as well. And you can crank it up while you're riding down the road in your truck or your car, and you can sing out loud with them, and people can look at you at the red light and think you're going crazy, and you're like, I don't care what they think. I'm having fun. Thank you so much. I am so glad that you were with us this morning, and I am so thankful that each and every one of you are here today. And I know we can all smell the food, and it's starting to smell good, and we're all anxious to get out there and have a good time of food and fellowship, but if you'll give me your attention for just a few moments, because not only do we need physical nourishment, we need spiritual nourishment as well. And as I thought and as I prayed and about what I wanted to talk to you about today, you know, God laid on my heart is kind of a reset a little bit. Most of those of you that come to church here regularly know, you hear me talk from time to time, that I like to paint. I have an iPad. I have a real nice iPad. And one of the things I like to do is I'm sitting at home. I'll sit and I'll paint on my iPad. Bob Ross. You're familiar with Bob Ross, correct? Right? The Bob Ross. And that's the kind of painting that I do. I'm not great at it, but sometimes I'll turn out some stuff that looks pretty decent. But when I'm painting, every so often I have to stop and I have to step back and look at the painting from a different perspective. And I have to take some time to just focus and relook, because then you go, oh, my happy little bush over here just ain't as happy as it should be, for those of you that remember Bob Ross, and just kind of have to refocus and relook at things from time to time. And usually it takes me days or weeks to finish one, and I'll come back after not painting for a while, and I'll look at it and see it from a different perspective. And we all understand that. If you've ever built something, you've had a project, whether it's a small project or a big project like a house or whatever, you understand that every so often you got to step back and you got to take a new look at things, right? Because you got to get a new perspective, a different perspective on it after a while. And I thought that's what God wanted us to do today, because we have people here that you don't come to our church regularly. Maybe we have a first-time visitor. I'm not sure. I see a lot of faces that I don't recognize, and you don't really know what we're about. But it's also good for those that have been here for years to just step back from time to time and take a new look. Because if any of you have ever been to the mechanic and he pointed out to you your tires are getting a little bit worn on one side and not the other, you need an alignment, right? Your tires get out of line, what happens? They start to wear unevenly. And every organization, every successful business, every successful church, every successful nonprofit, they keep themselves aligned with their mission. Because when things start to get out of alignment, things start to wear. And you, as you know, every church goes through this. Every church, we're all human. And every once in a while, you begin to wear on each other, because you get a little bit out of alignment. And every successful business, every successful church that I've ever known, they've all had a mission statement. And a mission statement is something that you can come back to and keep you aligned. Because it's real easy when it's 10 or 12 or 15 or 16 people, like it was when I came 3.5 years ago, to keep everybody aligned, or in line maybe, right? But when you grow and you get bigger, it gets harder and harder. And this is why companies have mission statements, so that everybody knows and everybody is on the same page. And so when I first came, one of the first things I did was I created a, quote, vision team, and it was just a group of people that I trusted and wanted to help me sort of look into the future, what we wanted to do with the church, and how was God leading us, because Proverbs tells us that in a multitude of counselors there is wisdom, and I need all the wisdom, and I need all the help I can get. And it is a foolish man that thinks that he can figure it all out by himself. And so I gathered a vision team, and one of the first things we did was I said, I think we need a mission statement. And at that point in time, it was like, probably not, but I knew in the future we were going to need one. And so we talked about it, said in a couple months, we're going to come back, everybody write a mission statement, a part of the vision team, and we're going to present our vision statement, we're going to vote on it. They're okay, they sounded like a good idea. So I looked and I researched and I went to all these churches and these pastors and I went to all these websites and I read, I don't know, probably hundreds of mission statements and vision statements. And I wrote dozens of mission statements and I wrote dozens of vision statements and I crafted, and some were long, some were short. And I worked and I worked and I worked and I came up with the perfect mission statement for our church. We came to the next meeting. We presented our mission statements at the meeting. And mine did not get voted on. And that's okay. Somebody else's did. And it's fantastic. And this is our mission statement: sharing the love of Jesus to bring new life and hope to broken and hurting people. That is what we are about here at Summitville First Baptist Church. New life, that is salvation for the lost. Hope, that is for all of us, because we are all broken and we are all hurting. And we all have those days, right, where we struggle. Like some of the songs that you sang about, so good. You know, faith sees the mountain move, does it not? And so we come together as a church to share with each other the love that Jesus shared with us. And so we can share it to someone else. Because you never know when someday somebody's going to walk in that back door and they'll hear the gospel message for the first time, or maybe they'll hear it for the first time differently than they've ever heard it before, and they'll come to know Jesus. And that's what keeps us aligned as we come back to that mission statement. And I want to talk to you about that just for a little bit. And to start, we're going to go to Acts chapter 1, verse 8 here in just a minute. But the two values that we follow here at our church is speak the truth in love. Paul says you need to speak the truth in love. If you go to our website, you will see on our logo, it says truth in love found here. We want you to come here and feel loved, but we want to make sure that you also hear the truth, because truth and love go hand in hand. And it's hard sometimes to speak the truth in love, because sometimes you don't want to speak the truth because you're afraid of what they're going to say. Sometimes you want to speak the truth and you do not care what they want to say. And you just give it to them, boy, and you really don't care. And that loving part gets thrown out. Yeah. We don't need either. We need them both together. I call it the love sandwich. I talked to the men about it. The love sandwich, that bottom bread is love, and then you put the truth in the middle, right? The meat of truth, and then you put another piece of love on top of it. But we also do the next right thing. We may not know what's going to happen in 6 months. Matter of fact, we probably don't. 6 months ago, I wouldn't have known that we were going to be remodeling our basement downstairs because our kids' ministry is growing and we need more room. But I do know what the next right thing is. And if I do the next right thing, that's the next step of faith, and that's my next step of trusting God. So we speak the truth in love here. And it's not always easy. It's a high standard. And we do the next right thing. And we do it because we love people and we want to share the light of the gospel in this community. Jesus, in Acts chapter 1, 40 days after the resurrection. We talked about the resurrection last Sunday. 40 days later, he's getting ready to go back to heaven. And he'd been talking for those 40 days and continuing to teach his disciples. And they were so excited. They said, Jesus, are you going to set up your kingdom right now? And he said, no. And I don't know when it's going to happen. God the Father knows when it's going to happen. You don't know when it's going to happen, and don't worry about it. Now, that's not exactly how the passage goes, but I paraphrase a little bit. He goes, that's not your worry right now. He goes, you're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And 10 days later, the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came upon them and upon hundreds and hundreds and thousands of others, and the church was born on that day. And he says, you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And Jesus went and he to the clouds and he left them with their final instructions. And you know what? 10 days later, the church is born. And you know what they did? They did exactly that. They went to Jerusalem and to Judea, Samaria. They went to the uttermost parts of the earth telling people about Jesus and his death and his burial and resurrection. And they told it over and over and over again. Thousands upon thousands of times and millions upon millions of times down through the ages for 2,000 years. People have been telling other people about Jesus. And one day, somebody told you about Jesus. One day somebody had told me about Jesus. It might have been your mom or dad or your grandmother. It might have been your coworker that loved you enough to tell you about Jesus. Or it might have been a friend that said, hey, why don't you come to church with me? And then the pastor told you about Jesus and about salvation. And for thousands of years, one by one, we've been sharing the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that's what we want to continue to do here at this church. But Jesus' final instruction didn't just include telling people about the gospel. Matthew tells us in Matthew 28, he says, Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. He is King of kings and Lord of lords of heaven and earth. And he tells them this, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And look at this. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age, until I come back. Amen. When you and I spread the gospel and we share the good news, Jesus is with us there. And our church is about this. That is what our mission statement is about. And there are three parts to what Jesus said. He said, go and make disciples. Making a disciple, the very first part is you got to tell people about Jesus. They got to understand that they're a sinner in need of salvation. That the only way of salvation is through Jesus Christ and His shed blood, not any kind of works that we do. That is the beginning of the making of disciples, but it's not the end. He tells us that when someone comes to Jesus as their Savior, the next step is the baptizing. Let's be very, very, very clear here. Baptism does not save you. Not being baptized doesn't take away your salvation. We are baptized because we want to tell the world that I am now a follower of Jesus Christ. My identity is now a Christian, a Jesus follower. That is what baptism is. It is just to proclaim to the world, I am a different person. I don't follow the ways of the world anymore. I follow the ways of Jesus. And so one of the first things that we do is we want to encourage people to be baptized to declare their new identity in Christ. But he doesn't end there. He says, teaching them to observe how many things? All things. Have you read the Gospels? Have you read everything that Jesus taught? If you're being honest, does you find it a bit overwhelming at times? Does anybody else struggle with love your enemies? Yeah. Do we not? As our church, we want to preach the gospel. We want to see people baptized. And Lord willing, we're going to have a baptism next week. But as a church, it is so important. And I think churches have failed in this area many times. And we do our best not to. We want to teach people what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. We want to help people grow in their faith. Not just show up and be stagnant, but grow in their faith. There is something so amazing when God begins to work in you and through you. When you use the gifts and ability that God has given you, it is an amazing thing. And we want to help people grow in their faith. And that's not just the job of the preacher. When he says to teach them, that doesn't mean you have to have the gift of teaching to teach. That doesn't mean that you have to stand up on a platform and sing or teach. It doesn't mean that you even have to teach the kids. You can go down and be a helper. And by the way, we're going to announce next week, we need helpers for our kids' ministry because it's growing. And the people that are working, they're getting tired because working with little kids can wear you out, can't it? So we need help in that area. But you don't have to be a teacher to teach. What did Jesus tell his apostles? The night before the crucifixion, he said to love one another as I have loved you. That sacrificial kind of love. So you know what happens when one church member sacrifices of their time or of their talent or maybe of their treasure to go help another church member? You are demonstrating, you are teaching to them what Jesus said and what Jesus meant when he said love one another. You never know that that new believer that you go help out using your spiritual gift, you never know that by example, how you have taught them all things that Jesus commanded you and commanded me. You are important in the life of the church. You are crucial in the life of the church. It is not all about what happens up here on the stage. I want to tell you it's about what happens out there on Tuesday night when we serve in the community dinner. And on Wednesday night, man, when we gather together to be that iron that sharpens iron so one man sharpens another. You are vital and you are important in the life of this church. And at a homecoming, a family reunion, so to speak, that's how it was put to me. I'm like, okay, in a family, we need to make sure that we align ourselves, understanding that we're here to share the love of Jesus, to bring new life and hope to broken and hurting people. And that takes place every day of the week. And that is what we are about. And here at our church, we don't expect perfection. We strive for perfection. We strive to be the best we possibly can be. But we understand that none of us are perfect. We all make mistakes. We all make bad decisions. We all do stuff and we're like, oh, I wish I hadn't have done that. And we all want grace when we do that, do we not? And so we strive to give grace when the other person does something. And they go, oh, I wish I hadn't have done that. What we ask of our folks here, what God asks of us is found in 1 Corinthians 4. Verse 2, Paul says, whoever is required, or excuse me, moreover, it is required of stewards that one be found what? Faithful. Faithfulness is crucial. Faithfulness is key, and that's what we ask. As we come together, we want to be faithful. And faithfulness takes many, many shapes. Sometimes faithfulness is, yeah, I'm going to go to church even though I don't necessarily feel like it this morning. And yes, the pastor says that occasionally. He does, to be honest with you. The pastor's like, I'm tired. And be honest with you, I'm tired today. I haven't had much sleep this week. Our grandson, our two-year-old grandson, had surgery Thursday, and it's been a rough journey. But anyway, it doesn't matter. Being faithful means showing up sometimes when you don't really feel like it. Being faithful means, you know what? Yeah, I probably did something I shouldn't have, or I said something I shouldn't have, but I'm going to apologize, I'm going to get back up, and I'm going to keep going. We lose our way, we get back up again. Faithfulness means we keep going and we keep doing the next right thing. And that's all we ask of you here is to be faithful. That God has called us to be faithful to do what He has given us to do. You have a gift. You have an ability. You have a talent. I don't know what it is. That's between you and God. But God wants you to use that talent, that gift, that ability to serve. And if you don't have a home church, we would love for you to come and join us. If you do not have a place where you regularly meet to worship, we would love to have you come and join us here to grow in your faith and to help us grow in our faith. Or maybe you're here and you come sometimes, but you don't come all the time. I want to encourage you to be faithful. When you miss a Sunday morning, you miss a lot. When you miss a men's group on Wednesday night, you miss a lot. When you miss one of our morning life groups, we're in the book of Romans right now. We're studying the book of Romans at 9:45. Man, Romans is a good book. It is a hard book, but it is a good book. You miss a lot when you miss those things. So maybe God's calling you this morning to commit to being more faithful just to be here. Or maybe there's someone here that God is saying, look, maybe I want you to step up and use your gifts and abilities more. Come be a part of us. All we ask is that you be faithful. But for those of you that have been faithful, and there's many here that you've been in this church longer than I have, and you've served faithfully, thank you. From the bottom of my heart, I am so honored to be a part of this church. I could not have envisioned this group of people 3.5 years ago when I first came. I had no idea what God had in store, but God has blessed us. I see so many new faces. I've met so many new friends. I've got to teach the Word of God to so many more people in these last 3.5 years. And nothing stirs my heart more than to see those light bulbs go off when you're teaching someone. So thank you, all of you who are serving so faithfully. Behind the scenes, you don't get recognition, God's watching. Jesus knows. Keep doing what God has called you to do, because you are fulfilling the Great Commission. You are teaching by example what it means when Jesus said, love one another. That is what we're about here. That's what we want to continue to do. We may be busting out these walls one of these days to create more room. That's a great thing. It's a scary thing, but it's a great thing. Because we want to see more and more people in this community come to know Jesus as Savior and grow in their faith. We want to share the love of Jesus to bring new life and hope to broken and hurting people. As we begin to close, after Jesus had gone back into heaven, His apostles are standing there and they're looking up at the sky, and I imagine their mouth was open. What in the world just happened? And Acts tells us this. Now when He had spoken these things, speaking of Jesus, while they watched, talking about the apostles, they're watching Him leave. It says, He was taken up and a cloud received Him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as He went up, behold, or surprise, two men, all of a sudden, just boom, right there they are. Two men, these were angels, stood by them in white apparel. So they're watching Jesus go, and I can imagine they're just partly excited, but partly like, oh man, you're leaving me, Jesus? That would have scared me. But as He's leaving and they're staring, staring at the sky, these two men stand beside Him. They go, look, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? What in the world are you looking at? The same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will so come in the manner as you saw Him go into heaven. I think they were kind of saying, all right, it's time to go to work. Don't worry about when Jesus is coming back. He's coming back. He made that promise and He will. In the meantime, do the thing that God told you to do. Share the gospel, baptize people, help people grow in their faith. And that's what we are going to do. And while we do that, and while we wait, and while we look for Jesus to come back, we will work, we will worship, and we will celebrate. We want you to join us each and every Sunday as we celebrate Jesus Christ. And we're going to celebrate with one last song here, one of our favorites. And as we sing, we'll have everybody stand, and we're going to sing I Can Only Imagine. But maybe you're here this morning. Everybody stand. If God has spoken to your heart and you need to come forward and you need to pray, as we were talking about earlier, it's a great thing to come forward and pray. It's not an embarrassing thing. You come and you pray. If there's one here that doesn't know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, you find someone in this room. You find me. We will be thrilled to tell you. I want to ask a couple of our men and a couple of our ladies to come and stand up here as we sing. If you want somebody to pray with you, feel free to come. But as we sing, we look forward to Jesus and His return, and we look forward to seeing Jesus face to face. Oh, Father in heaven.
Hi, and thank you for watching. I trust that the sermon blessed you, encouraged you, and inspired you to take your next step of faith. Please click the like and share button on our YouTube page. And if you're in the area, come visit us. Sunday mornings, 11 a.m. We would love to see you. I believe you will find us to be a warm and welcoming people. We just want to love God and love people. And check out our website, summitvillechurch.org. That's summitvillechurch.org. Over there, you can learn more about us. You can check out past sermons. You can also check out future events and things that we have coming up. And we also have a give button. And would you pray about giving to our ministry, so we can continue to expand and grow, so we can reach more people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Summitville First Baptist Church exists to share the love of Jesus, to bring new life and hope to broken and hurting people. God bless you, and have a great day.